The hot topic that seems to change from minute to minute, day to day, of course, is the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. It's chopping and changing. Lots of accusations as well between the states and the feds. I've got someone I was very keen to chat to just to get a bit of an update, as best as we can do that. Matthew Kalana is from Kalana Whole Health Pharmacies. He's a pharmacist, of course, and the general manager of about 11 pharmacies across North Queensland. Matthew, first of all, thanks for being on the King Review.
Thanks for having me, Gavin.
Now, look, from your point of view, you're on the front line. You've got staff who will be on the front line when the vaccines arrive. Give listeners a bit of insight into what's the latest that you're hearing. I'm particularly interested in when can people expect to be walk into their pharmacy and get the jab?
Okay. So at the moment, as I understand it, the government's rolling the phasing in the rollout of the COVID vaccine over five stages. We're into the second stage now, once stage 1B. 1A has happened where a lot of border force and people who are at high exposure or risk to the virus have been vaccinated or have allowed to be vaccinated. Stage 1B is part of the rollout is now more healthcare professionals, more frontline personnel, including staff who work in pharmacy, GP, and so forth. So any of our team members, I know that are within certain age groups and work within the business, are now able to see their GP to get vaccinated should they wish. So that's the stage we're at the moment, stage 1B. Pharmacy will get involved shortly after this next stage in the early stages of stage 2A. And in that part, we will pharmacy will be involved in vaccinating, or pharmacists will be able to be involved in vaccinating using probably at this stage the AstraZeneca vaccine, which again is a hot topic at the moment as well. We anticipate that's probably going to be June at this stage, maybe May, but probably June.
Now, have you been surprised by, you know, there's a lot of criticism that Australia isn't keeping pace with certain other countries, the US and the UK being two good examples where it seems to be going gangbusters in terms of the numbers that they're vaccinating. Have you been surprised by what's unfolded in Australia? Are we too relaxed given how well we've coped with COVID?
It could be that we're relaxed. It could be, I guess, you know, our community transition rates have been very low. We don't really have any community-acquired virus within the community, and I think, you know, from that point of view, we as a country, we haven't had to rush into vaccination. There's a lot of finger pointing and blame gaming and all that sort of stuff going on between states and federal and stuff like that. I guess Australia as a country is a big country. There's a lot of people in a massive geographical area that needs to be covered off, and there's different states involved and all that sort of stuff. So that in itself creates a logistic issue. I know that from a Queensland government perspective, the chief medical officer has been very interested in having pharmacy involved in the rollout of the vaccine across the state. And she's been very on board with that from early on, you know, nearly 12 months ago.
Should pharmacies have been involved earlier on in this process? I know that there's some concerns that GPs haven't been able to keep up with demand. Now, whether that's a supply thing or not, who knows? But should pharmacies, given, you know, there's a pharmacies obviously right across Australia in all regional areas, should you guys have been involved earlier in the process?
Yeah, possibly. I think the stage approach that the government's taking is reasonable in that we should be focusing on the people at higher risk in aged care, working in aged care, border force, all that sort of stuff. I think that makes sense, initially at least anyway, and then using the vaccine as it's available in the broader community, which is where pharmacy can get involved. You're very right there. You know, there's a community pharmacy generally within 2.5-3 km of someone's residence. So community pharmacy is very accessible, and we are equipped to do the job. There's more and more pharmacists now being able to vaccinate. We're easily accessible, like you said. And, you know, now we're equipped to do the job. And, you know, as part of the rollout with even flu vaccine this year, and COVID will roll into that, you know, pharmacies now got systems and procedures set up where we're able to administer vaccine, but also have those records updated on people's immunisation register as well. So there's that public, recording system available too that we have access to as well now.
Matthew, paint a bit of a picture now for listeners. Across your pharmacies, I understand that the Kelana group of pharmacies has put in an expression of interest to be a COVID vaccine provider, if you like. What's the capacity at a typical pharmacy of yours? How many people can you get through the doors and vaccinated in a typical day, for example?
It'll really depend what our requirements are around the vaccine. So I guess, you know, a pharmacist could probably get through a vaccination, let's say on an average, you know, maybe one every 5 or 10 minutes. We do have to have allow enough time for people to remain within the pharmacy just to make sure there's no adverse reactions and so forth. Usually that's about a 15-minute process. So, you know, across a standard day, you may anticipate, and depending on, you know, one pharmacist might be able to handle, you know, 20, 30 or so, maybe more vaccinations depending on the size of the pharmacy. It all varies depending on the size of the pharmacy, the ability to have, you can only have so many people within a certain area. So those kind of factors would come into place. But, you know, I would think those numbers are, you know, if a pharmacist is just concentrating on that, those kind of numbers are possible.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a big job, isn't it? You think about, you know, one pharmacy might do, I don't know, 50 people a day, for example, you try and multiply that across the millions of people across our country who need it. It's quite a staggering task ahead of us. Look, just to wrap up, obviously, I guess there's growing concern. You'd be fair to say that AstraZeneca, things that have happened there, Johnson & Johnson, I know, in the US now, other countries, I think, have stopped AstraZeneca, Denmark or one of those Scandinavian countries have banned it altogether. What advice would you give for listeners who may be concerned, regardless, I guess, of their age or pre-existing conditions? What advice would you give people who may have growing concerns about the vaccine?
Well, I guess first things first, every individual is different. They've all got different circumstances. And first thing is discuss it with your GP. They're going to know your history best. They're going to know at what risk you might be to COVID and what that might mean for you and which vaccine would be most suitable. The Australian government's taken a reasonably precautionary stance with the AstraZeneca vaccine. They are not saying it's banned for people under 50 or anything like that, but they're just saying, you know, people under 50, as precaution, they're using the AstraZeneca vaccine. Perhaps we look at an alternative, which is the only other alternative at the moment in Australia, is the Pfizer vaccine. And I guess accessing that comes down to how much of that's available in the country. There's also other logistical issues with Pfizer because it needs to be stored at such low temperatures, like minus 70 degrees. So, which is why the AstraZeneca vaccine was the one that was preferred because, you know, it only needs to be stored at a refrigerated temperature between 2 and 8 degrees. So it's more easy to get around the country, particularly a big country like Australia, and those kind of things. So, yeah, look, that would be my advice. Discuss with your GP first. You know, do take in consideration all of the issues that are going on. If you do have concerns around clotting and in your age bracket and things like that, you know, at this stage, the ratios of clotting in with the AstraZeneca vaccine do seem quite low, particularly when you consider other risk factors or just the general rates of clotting and those kinds of issues.
And what is it, one in a million?
One in a million is what I'm hearing reported. You know, and you kind of got to consider as well. It seems to be an age bracket of, you know, of kind of under 50, and there could be other issues as to what you know triggers that response as well. At the same time, the virus itself can trigger responses like clotting and bleeding issues as well. You know, so that's another consideration.
All right, Matthew, well, I'm sure we'll chat to you again, no doubt, over coming coming months, because it seems to be a bit of a movable feast, a bit of a roller coaster ride that we're all on in terms of this vaccine. So we really appreciate your insights on this issue. Matthew Kalana from Kalana Pharmacies, thanks so much for being on the King Review.
Thanks, Gavin.